Pastor, to come and pray for your city, I want to say to you, remember this scripture in Jonah 4, verse 11. And this is God speaking back to Jonah. Jonah just complained about the plant that had died, that was keeping him shaded in the sunlight. And God goes back to him and says, should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock. So, you know, with the prayer initiative in Auckland, I felt the Lord give me that word in the early part of the year, in February. And this next week we are meeting on the south end of the city, with the leadership, and on the west end of the city, we're coming together to pray for our city and pray for God's outpouring of His Holy Spirit upon the church and upon the nation. And I believe it's a great time for the church to recognize, you know, that God is calling us to unite as the body of Christ. So if they see you, they see the body. If they see you, they see a community of believers that, you know, are standing strong in God. Amen. Very important time. But I want to just move along on this section so that we can do a bit of practice. So I'd like to just cover with you the commune with God, our perceiving and our conscience. Our commune with God, which speaks about our spiritual appetite for worship. So my question to you is, what is your spiritual appetite for worship, for praise, for prayer, intercession, adoration, fellowship with God? What is, you know, how do you foster, how do you improve your spiritual appetite for those ordinances that God gave the church, really? This is what it says in John 4:23. True worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father, our Heavenly Father, is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So what it's saying is, in this spirit, we are spirit. That's how we communicate with God, who is a spirit. So God is helping us to understand the channel of communication is spirit to spirit, Holy Spirit working in us. You know, so we don't have to see God up there, we have to see God in here. God, the Holy Spirit, resident in us, awakening us to true worship and commune with Him on a daily basis. And God wants us to, you know, increase our time of worship with Him. It's something that I love to do. I'm not a worshiper. I don't have a good voice like Phil, but I make a holy noise before the Lord, and I enjoy my time with God. So I love the relationship that comes out of worship. You know, you perceive the Lord, the love of the Lord, because what worship should do for us is bring us to a place of, you know, deep adoration for God. God, I love you. And I love to be in your presence. And that's what it does for us. And we start then receiving, you know, spiritual input from God when we're in worship. So my most frequent time of prophetic utterance will come when I'm standing in the presence of God in worship. It activates something in my life, and that should do the same for you. Even if it's not for someone else as a prophetic word, it's actually a prophetic word for yourself from the God, from the Lord. I often say to people, when last did you prophesy to yourself? When last did you give yourself some encouragement? In God, I can do this. The Lord has given me promises. Now I'm going to pray them back to God. So my encouragement for you on your assignment in God is, have you written down your scriptures that apply to your assignment in God? So what I'm saying to you is that this area of commune with God, God comes back and He reminds us, you know, about His call on us. And in that time of communication, there's a time of intimacy, a time of awakening in us, that allows us to understand the heartbeat of God for us, for our families, for our children. So, you know, for me, some of the greatest promises I've seen is in my children and my grandchildren. Because I can look back and I can say 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 20 years ago, I said this to my daughter, and I see that outworking in her life today. And that's how God is. Sometimes God is a long term. You know, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, to give you a future and a hope. And that's a beautiful thing. So perceiving, intuitive ability, our experience, the spiritual world, to discover, you know, that God is, you know, a Father that works and is interested in every aspect of my life. And that's the key for you and I to remember, that no matter what's happening in our life, God is interested in where you're going and what struggles you are encountering. And I've learned one thing with God. Every struggle that I have, every attack of the enemy that comes against me, and those hardships, is often God's gymnasium to build me up, make me strong in Him, stretches my faith, grows me in faith to believe that I've overcome this. I can overcome the giant here. I'll overcome the giant down the road. I've fought the bear, I've fought the lion. I will overcome the giants. Amen. And it teaches us that we discover the promptings of God, which come by the Holy Spirit. And to me, one of the things that I want to say to you about intuitiveness is that when you're not sure, just go and become still before God. You know, Psalm 37, verse 4, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. The word still, there's a word called rapa. It means come aside, be in a quiet place with God, and He will communicate with you. And today we live in a society that demands time, but also is very busy and very noisy. So we've got to learn to get away from the busyness of life and spend time talking to the Lord. That's why we call our time in the morning our quiet time. It's time alone, and God speaks to us and interacts with our spirit man. And we learn to write things down. So my encouragement is, when you're hearing the voice of God, write it down. Because you can hear something today, and 2 weeks' time you hear a little bit of something that gets added to that. If you don't record it, you lose some of the key threads that God is speaking to you about. So I try and journal, and today it's easy on your phone or your laptop. You can write your notes and put them in your calendar, and you know where you're going with God. Amen. So it's a beautiful thing. But that inner voice, the Spirit of God wants to communicate with us in direct words. Sometimes you will hear something very loud inside from God. I've found that the voice of God generally is a still small voice, but sometimes it can be very loud and very clear. So if God's got an assignment that is pretty important to Him, He'll speak very clearly to me about what He wants me to do. So I'm open to that. And God, I say, just communicate how you want. So my invitation to the Lord is, Lord, speak to me. Your servant is listening. See, God responds to your prayer and your desire to hear from Him. You'll take that very seriously. So my responsibility is, God, speak to me. I'm listening. And I will follow you as good steward. So God has put a grace on your life, and we need to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God working in us. Amen. And just enjoy the grace of God. So we are aware that this communication is a characteristic of God. So I know now that as I minister prophetically, I learn to work with the Spirit of God, knowing that there's a way that God starts revealing Himself to me, and I take careful note of that. So when I look at a congregation and I've got ministry on, Sometimes just a glance at a person, the Lord will say, now I want you to encourage the person in this area. So I put that in my memory and I say, okay, when the time comes for ministry, I've already seen ahead what God is saying to me to encourage people. And I want to say that to you, when you're going to the supermarket, when you're going into a public place, sometimes God will, you know, focus you on a person and you say, Lord, what is it that you want me to say to them about their life? And it's something that I've learned to do in the supermarket. I'll go to someone and I'll just say, yeah, you know, I just noticed you when you walk past. Can I share something with you? And 99.9% of the times people will say yes. I think of all the people I've spoken to, I've only had one that's run away. And I think that she had a problem with a demonic, she had a demon in her, and the demon didn't want to talk to me. It ran away from me. But anyway, so I just say, you know, I'd love to share something with you. Are you open to this? And they'll say yes. I say, I just want to pray a short prayer for you that God will heal your marriage, that God will bring reconciliation back into your life, that the wound that you have now, God will cancel it and bring trust back into your relationship in the name of Jesus. I prayed that prayer for a lady, and she put her heads on her trolley, and she wept and she wept and she wept. It was just, she'd just gone through a very difficult time with her husband who had left her. And, you know, so God's timing on these matters is very, very important. Don't, you know, turn away from it and think, you know, what will people think? You know, what will people say? Fear of man is an awful thing. You know, we run away from man. Fear of woman, they can be scary too. But, you know, we just do it anyway. You know, just let God be God. Amen. As we grow in God, our ability to perceive and discern becomes greater frequency in our lives. The more I push into God, the more He speaks to me. Here's a very powerful scripture that I want you to hear. It's a very short scripture. It says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. There's four keys in the scripture. Jesus recognizes you are part of the sheepfold that He's called you. You are His sheep. That means you're a child of God. Relationship. God first says, you are part of my sheepfold. I love you. Even though you bleat a lot, you're still one of my sheep. Not yet in Auckland, they bleat a lot. Jesus points out that my sheep hear my voice. So there's a result of being a sheep in God. He says, you hear my voice. Isn't that powerful? Because you're a sheep, you hear the voice of God. And then he says, there's a result, there's a relationship, there's a result, and then he says there's a reason. I know my sheep. The reason that we are in this is because we're known by God and He knows us. Now, it's a wonderful thing to say, I know God, but let me say to you, even a greater revelation is that God knows you. He knows everything about you, everything that He's going to do with you. He's just looking for a surrender of life. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. When we get to that place, God can use us. I've learned that over and over. It's God, you're just going to do something, I know. And then it speaks about, I know my sheep. And then it says, there's a response from the sheep. They follow me. The fourth thing that happens. Because you know God, you will follow Him no matter what. And you know, if you read John 10:10, or John 10, the Gospel of John, Jesus starts off in that and he says, my sheep, the enemy comes up some other way. Right in the beginning, he warns us that the enemy wants to come into your life, but he'll come in some other way. But I am the door, he says, I am the way. You know, and so he encourages us that, you know, essentially, you know, God is inviting us to a relationship with Him that is ongoing. So it's a beautiful thing. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Amen. Because you know Him, you'll follow Him. Amen. It's a beautiful intuitive thing that happens on the inside of your life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And Jesus describes himself as that shepherd, that leader that we need to follow. Don't follow any other system, but follow the Lord Jesus. Amen. The emphasis by the Holy Spirit today is Jesus is coming to reveal himself to the body of Christ in a greater dimension of his glory and purpose. Are we open to that? You know, are we open to those things? When Jesus saw Nathanael, and Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, whom there's no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." It speaks about, you know, perceiving something beyond what we see in the natural. It's easy for me to perceive here, but sometimes I have to perceive things that are still coming. And that's that, you know, when you talk about prophecy, it speaks about two elements of prophecy. It speaks about a foretelling, a now, and a foretelling, which is the future. And, you know, God uses both areas. The more mature we come, the more he gives you responsibility for what's coming, foretelling. But when God's dealing with your life, he's more speaking about a foretelling and now time in your life that he wants to reveal his heartbeat to you so that you can see into the future. So God will always deal with a now in your life. So when Jesus said he saw, it's a Greek word called eido. It means to perceive. With the eye, to perceive with the senses, to discern and to pay attention to what's going on. So that's what Jesus was saying to Nathanael. I saw you, I perceived you with my eye. And I want to encourage, that's why the voice of God and the prophetic voice of God with knowledge and wisdom is got a lot to do with the eye gate. That we learn to train the eye gate. That's why if you look at the nation of New Zealand, New Zealand is a seer nation. The people are called to see. And the enemies come to rob the people of the gift of God. I really believe that God is awakening the nation to see the glory of God. And that's why there's such an emphasis of the work of the Spirit in us so that we rise up and we become the eyes and the ears of the Lord. Amen. So that we see it. You know, I'll give an example. I was at a conference. They asked me to come and speak to the outer church believers down in Tauranga. Now, they're all believers, but they're out of church. So, but, you know, God was doing a work in their lives because a lot of them had been wounded and hurt by things that had happened in the church. So I ministered, and then at the end, it was a Queen's birthday, and I said, well, I've got to get out of here now because my wife's waiting for me, and I've made a promise. I'll see you at 2 o'clock. Half past one, I'm looking at the queue. I'm not going to get out of here. So I tried to hurry up the ministry time, and then I grabbed my bag, and I said, I'm out of here, and the door's down there. And as I ran to the door, a brother shouted from the other end, he is coming in. He said, "Brother, you need to pray for me." I thought, oh, no, I'm already late. What do I do? So I just dropped my bag and I looked. And as I looked, the Lord showed me a spirit of infirmity. So I said, "You spirit of infirmity, come off this man in the name of Jesus." And, you know, I thought, well, there my job was done. But he fell on the floor and he started rolling and manifesting. So I thought, well, I better go now. And I went over and I prayed for him. But, you know, it was a divine moment. That sometimes we're in such a hurry, I could have missed it. And when this brother stood up, he was a big man. And he'd just come out of prison, and he'd been wounded. And he said, "Thank you, brother, for ministering to me." He said, "I can feel my joints now." He had muscular dystrophy, and he couldn't feel his knees and his elbows and his hands. And he's quite a well-known musician. And I didn't know this. And he said to his brother that was with him, go and fetch that guitar of yours, bring it through. And he started playing a song. And he sang a song over me, which came from the heart of God. And I thought to myself, there's a man that was in bondage 1 minute, then free the next in God, singing a song of the Lord. But what I'm saying is I saw something, I discerned something in the Spirit that caused the man to be free in that instant. And I believe God wants to do that with us, that when we look, we see, in the spirit more than we see in the natural. So he's awakening in us that Edo, you know, the discovery of the discerning Spirit of God working through believers to help people become healed and free from the bondage of life. Amen. So God's going to do that with us more and more. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. John 16:13. Beautiful scripture. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he lives in us, the Spirit of truth, he will guide your life into all truth. Not some truth, all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. You know, so I've got to hear what the Father is speaking to me through the power of the Spirit in my inner man. And I've got to know the Father that he will trust me with intimate stuff. So the important thing is that God wants to entrust you. He will not tell you something if you become, if you break confidences. You know, I believe God is very, very intimate about these things when it comes to people's hurts. That if he reveals things to you that is about someone's life that is very delicate, then you must treat it that way. Amen. And he will use you over and over to do that. So God wants to really help us in this area. So, you know, that comes out of our intuitive perceiving. It's a gentle tug of the Holy Spirit on the inside. We distinguish the voice and the thoughts that line up with God's word, with God's character, with God's love. If we understand that about God, we will find that process grows and grows in our hearts, because the heart of the Lord, the heart of the Father, is love. The greatest force that is released against the world today is the love of the Father. So when revival comes upon the church, it's going to be motivated by the love of God. Amen. The love in you and me. Jesus said that new commandment, they will know us by the love we have one for another. And that's, you know, starting to happen. The voice of conscience. It's a capacity and the facility for moral intuition, consciousness, and a reflection on the internal awareness and the sense of abiding by the awareness that God is bringing a moral standard into your life. You see, God's interested in the church being a moral custodian of purity. And we don't talk enough about this in the church, but I think the Holy Spirit is saying to us, he wants us to have a moral obligation to keep our lives pure before God. Amen? It applies to me, applies to you. And if I step out of line, the Lord will let me know straight away that I'm out of line and that I need to come back to and the function of my conscience in my personal conduct will say to me, Len, your character is out of line with the Word of God. Then I know I've got to bring it back. And so your conscience will help you to monitor, to witness, to judge, and to guide. Monitor your witness. You know, say, if I witness for God, I've got to witness out of love. My motivation to witness is out of the compassion of Jesus, not out of anything for me. If I start becoming, too prominent, then I've got to speak to myself and say, this ministry is not about me, it's about Jesus. So I've got to shrink back so that he can rise up in me and be who he's supposed to be. So I believe God is doing a lot of that in the church. He's shaking everything that can be shaken so that when we stand, we represent the King. And the King doesn't put up with nonsense for too long. Amen? So the conscience, it's also the private knowledge, reflective self-consciousness of any negative or immoral thoughts that I have. God will remind me that that's not from him. So, you know, Paul says, I strive always to keep my conscience clear between God and man. It's a very important aspect of living for us. Amen. The Bible talks, and the reason I'm staying on this is because there's some very good things about conscience. The opportunity that we have as believers, no other religion can do this, that our conscience is made clear through the blood of Jesus. So if there's something we've done wrong, or there's something that we recognize as needs sorting, we go to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed for me, that my conscience will be washed by the blood of Jesus. Please forgive me, Lord, because I overstepped my mark of responsibility there. And then I know God will heal me. Amen. So the Bible speaks about four types of conscience. A good conscience, which is what I'm talking about as believers. 1 Timothy 1:5 speaks about that. We have good conscience because we can go to Christ for forgiveness and for cleansing. It speaks about a weak conscience, speaks about a seared conscience, and speaks about an evil conscience. So there's four consciences there. If you ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your conscience, it becomes weak. And the weaker it becomes, then we turn away from God even further, and then your conscience becomes seared. You know, it talks about the hearts of God's people became seared. Their hearts were so hardened by continuous disobedience to God, and they wouldn't receive seared conscience. 1 Timothy 4:2. A weak conscience is 1 Corinthians 8:7. So God works on the conscience so that it doesn't become seared. If it becomes evil, then people that are in the demonic will do evil and even more evil. So they get prompted by the enemy and they don't recognize this as the enemy. They just keep doing it. It'll pull you into destruction. Amen. So we help people with that sort of, you know, if you look at what's happening in the world today, many people that are just been saved out of, you know, just one night God will appear to them. I was ministering up north 2 weeks ago, and one young lady I encouraged her prophetically, and she said, you know what, during the night the Lord appeared to me and said to me, you need to get your life in order. She said, when I heard that, she said, I got such a fright. She said, I was fearing for the well-being of my life. God spoke to me. She said, I found the pastor, and the pastor had read me through a prayer of repentance. She said, I know my life now means something, and I'm going somewhere. But that's God speaking to people at night, just out of the blue. When Paul said, I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man, Acts 24:16, he said, you know, the word strive is to go after. So you have to go after this thing in God. Amen. David said, create a clean heart in me, O Lord. He's talking about his conscience there. Okay, I'm going to cover the last one, the voice of God, which is essentially what I've been talking about. But, you know, Scripture uses, you know, many good examples about instructions in righteousness. You know, if you're getting an instruction from God when you're reading the Word, you know that's from God. 2 Timothy 3:16. God will work in you to correct your life in righteousness. That's the voice of God to you. And you say, wow, God, okay. He'll cause you to profit in Christ. So every time something good happens in me, I say, Lord, I obeyed you. The result of my obedience is profit on this end. So, you know, Jesus said, they will know us by the fruit. So you do good things here, people will see the fruit in your life over there. Amen. He guides you into all truth. He exhorts you. He comforts you. He rebukes you and reproves you. A rebuke from your Father is actually a good thing. My Father wants to help me. Amen. Titus 1:13, you know, speaks about the reproof of God. If God reproves me, I say, thank you, Father, you know where I'm at. God wants to increase your faith. So I want to say to you, test the words that you hear from God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I would say that your foundational base is the word. God will speak to you out of the word through Rhema, through scripture, through revelation of his word, and apply that to your life. And then as you continue to seek the Lord by being still in his presence, waiting on the Lord. You know, Isaiah 40 verse 31, those who wait upon the Lord shall mount up. It almost feels like you're going up and God is speaking to you and revealing something to you about your life. You know, that comes out of times of, you know, precious times of being alone with God. And you don't, it doesn't mean that you have to lock yourself in your room, but just, you know, time when I'm working in my garden, when I'm going fishing, when I'm going on my walk, that's my time with God. It's such a key time. And I just love that, you know, time of, you know, taking up my responsibility. Here's a very important scripture. 1 John 2, 5-6 says, if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. There's a challenge. So when you're walking around, how did Jesus walk? How do we walk in relationship to that? So a lot of our Christian walk is about responsibility. Our responsibility to follow the word, our responsibility to hear the word, our responsibility to foster the relationship with God. See, God says many times in Scripture, I can't tell you how many times, hear my voice. You know, he says, you know, those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. There's that invitation from God. See, God doesn't knock us on the head and force us into that place, but he gives us the invitation. Come on. Wear your ears today. Wear your eyes today. And then, you know, the fundamentals of what we've been through will start happening in your life. So I'm going to close with this, and then we're going to do something different. I want to just give you quickly a summary of the things I've said. Study the Word of God for yourself. Number two, meditate on God's Word day and night. Number three, spend time in prayer. Just the way it is. You must spend time communing with the Holy Spirit. In other words, Holy Spirit, thank you for the helper. Thank you for the counsel that I need. See, in Psalm 16, verse 7 says, the Lord will counsel me in the night season. So I used to always see night seasons as a good time to sleep. Now I find it's a good time to hear from God. So he will counsel me in the night seasons. Get planted in a good church. Come on. If you lack wisdom, number six, ask him for wisdom. Number seven, seek wise counselors that can help you. You know, we should have mentors that can talk into our lives. Amen. Welcome that. Incredible security in having good people around us. Amen. Okay. Now, I want to do a little exercise with you. And the exercise is, I'll start off by doing what I call an activation. And the activation is, we will have ears to hear, we will have eyes to see. And, you know, often when I take scripture for myself, I will pray that back to the Lord and activate in my life what I'm asking God for. God wants me to participate with him in that request, not just to read the scripture and say, yeah, God, that's nice. No, no, I get into prayer and I'll start repeating that so that my prayer life is in agreement with God, especially when I pray scripture back to the Lord. But I want to use this one today, and we'll say it three times. We will have ears to hear. And then we'll say, we will have eyes to see. So let's say this together. We will. We will. We will have eyes to see. We will. We will. We will have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Do that in my life, dear Lord, in a greater measure than ever before. I receive that now in my spirit man, that I will be obedient to your voice. Prompt me more and more, Lord, and cause me to hear with clarity. Amen. So, you know, just develop your little prayers and you go along and you, as you walk about, you know, start saying them. Because what happens is it takes you from this level to that level and beyond. And I believe that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to accelerate us in what He's doing. But whenever we in the presence of the Lord, like we are today in the sense of gathering, God starts speaking to us about things that are pertaining to our lives, to your lives of your church, you know. So you going back to church tomorrow, what is God saying to you about your church? You know, do you have you got a prophetic unction burning in your life that's going to encourage the brothers and sisters in the church to rise up? You know, it's something that sometimes comes spontaneously to you, but most times it comes because we prepare ourselves. Now, before you go to church tomorrow, God, speak to me about what it is that you would have me, you know, bring, you know, that will have life and bring a building up. That's why Scripture says, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, if you look at the Greek words there, they're very powerful words, actually. The word edification is a word called okodomo. It means to build up. When Jesus said to Peter, and I will build my church, it's the same word, okodomo. He's going to build his church. But you know what? God uses people to build his church. He's going to use you. So if you're not building yourself up in the Lord, how can you come and build the church up? Amen. So my encouragement to you is get into the Word, get into the Spirit, so that you can be a builder of the house. Why? Because burnt stones come in. They've been through tough times. And what does it say in 1 Peter? It says God is calling, you know, is building his church with living stones. They're not living in the Spirit yet. But when they come in and we minister to them, they go from burnt stones to living stones. And I believe that God is taking the mask off the church today. We've lived our church life with too many masks on. He's taking them off so that there can be a building up and a clarity and a sense of victory in our lives. So if we're in victory, we're going to take others with us. Amen. People aren't going to follow us down a pathway that doesn't look like it's any signs of victorious living. No, they won't go there. I've been there. I don't want to go there. Take me somewhere that I can meet the Lord on the Emmaus Road. You know, that type of thing. God wants you and I to walk in the Spirit. So even though this is just an impromptu request, has anybody been sensing God speaking to them this morning about anything that's pertaining to the church or to their life? Sorry? Yeah. Sorry? Yep. Do you want to tell us what the Lord's been saying to you?
It's a decision time for us to really obey what the Lord wants us to do and build a church for which we disciple. And I feel I have a choice.
Mm.
There's a choice that I can follow. It would be easy to turn aside. Or I can take the road that the Lord wants to disciple and build the church.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Good on you. The next way, when you talk, it would be yet. Some might not hear you there. So let me just. Is there a spare mic? Okay. It's so good. You know, the body of Christ needs to build one another up, and our most important ministry is the words that we have. God's given us a ministry of words. So we've got to hear those words from one another to build the body. Do we want to just say that again, just a little bit louder there, so that those who are hard of hearing.
Sitting here listening to Ken, to Len, a lot of you know what's going on. I have a choice, and hearing what the Lord is saying this morning pertaining to that choice is I can take an easy road, and that is turn aside from my call and turn aside from what the Lord is calling me to in this area, or I can obey the Lord and build the Church of Christ and help build the Church of Christ prophetically and what the Lord is saying to me. And it's important. And it's not easy, but it's incredibly important. So, yeah. Is that it? Is that, you happy with that?
Yep, that's good. Thank you. You see, there's revelation coming out in your life by God all the time. And so my encouragement to you is to keep that revelation coming, you know, by being obedient to God and following the leading of the Spirit. Amen? So anybody else heard something, you know, maybe something personal that God is speaking to you about? Yes. Mm. Yes, that's good. Your Emmaus Road encounter. Yeah. Very good. Yes, a spiritual awakening, eh? I feel sometimes we're sleepwalking. We're walking, but we're not fully engaged. Yes. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the word of knowledge and then try and get us working together, encouraging one another. And just, you know, just out of our time together now, is there anybody feel the Lord prompted them to give somebody a prophetic word that's here this morning? You carrying a word for someone else? Yes. Yeah, good. To welcome him into the fellowship. Yes, that's good. Yeah, now, you know, whatever way God is, you know, awakening the inner promptings of the Spirit, we should respond to God by encouraging one another. So that prompting becomes, you know, more recognizable when you're out of church. Because our ministry is not just church, our ministry is out there. This is where we should be sharpening one another and practicing the word of the Lord so that when we're out there, we are a lot more bolder than we have been. So that if we see a brother or a sister that needs ministry, we can go to them and say, do you mind if I speak to you? I think the greatest thing I would say to people when you're speaking to those out there, try and just use normal language. And ask them for permission. Can I speak to you about something that I've observed by the Holy Spirit? And sometimes I don't know who the Holy Spirit is, so I say, I just, you know, I'd like to talk to you because God is speaking to me about your life. And, you know, people say, okay, you know, I'm all ears, tell me about it. So that's the invitation to pull down walls of defense that are out there today towards the church. Because, you know, the publicity about the church is negative, but we come with a different mindset. We bring the love of the Lord. So the motivation of hearing should come out of a love relationship with God and also a love relationship with each other. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. So your motivation is love, the desires, the zeal to work in this love with God, and then you then prophesy is the operation of the gift of prophecy that comes out of a motivation that loves, but you have a zeal that as many people as I can today, I'm going to share the word of God with. And then, you know, so you've got a different set of parameters that you set yourself based on scripture that helps you. And then in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 14, then Paul says, when you do prophesy, remember to edify. Remember, you know, to build up, to exhort, to stir up and cheer up people. And that's what the world needs. It changes everybody's perspective about how life is. I ministered at the Elam campuses, school campuses, and they've got a lot of teachers in each campus, 30 or 40 teachers in each campus. And that because the teachers have been through a hard time over this last 2 years, the principal said, come on, he said, we're in a bad way. We need some encouragement. So I just went into each campus one a week, and I just shared the word of the Lord with them a bit, and then I prophesied to the teachers. And he said, wow, he said, when God steps in, you know, everything changes. The atmosphere changes. The heart changes. Life's, becomes more hope returns. So that can happen in a Christian environment. Imagine how powerful it is out in the highways and the byways that you and I frequent every day. So you've got to remember the road that you're on, and wherever you're going, there's opportunity that comes to us every day. Don't miss the opportunity of the visitation of God through your life for somebody else. You know, if you kind of measure yourself that way, it's a good thing. Anyway, I thought that maybe I should just do a little bit of encouragement. I'll just do a few, and then we can do a bit of word of knowledge, and we can do a few more. Is that okay? We'll do it that way. Interesting when I couldn't find my notes this morning. I had them last night, and then when I put on my laptop, they just disappeared somewhere. So that's how it goes. It shows you the enemy's at work. But I want to just share this with you about about using your words of knowledge and your words of wisdom. Once you've heard from God, the word shouldn't become dormant. It should become active. And it's active by application. You're going to apply it to your circumstances, to your family, to your church, to your community, wherever it is. And most times when you hear something from God, the first thing I want to encourage you to do is to pray. Lord, what do you want me to do with what I've received? So even though I'm ministering, my prayer is always, Lord, what do you want me to do and say? So there's an openness of dialogue with God going up and down all the time. You know, when Jacob saw the angels ascending and descending in the ladder was Christ. And that ladder that touches from earth to heaven, God is connecting us to his heavenly will if we are just open to what he's doing and saying at any given time. So because God is spirit and he can't be seen, we don't do the connection. But the connection is spirit to spirit. The Holy Spirit has sanctified my spirit to communicate with a holy God. So I've got to keep my side of the bargain. God will always keep his side. So my communication with the Father grows as I rely on him more and more. As you rely on him more and more, your confidence in hearing him grows more, and also your sensitivity grows more and more. So for me, God's looking for my availability, he's looking for my sensitivity, and he's looking for my obedience. Three areas that are key to what I do. So I've got to be available to God. I've got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God moving in my heart. And then when God prompts me, I've got to then obey him. If you love me, you will obey me. Now we talk about languages of, what do they call it? The five love languages. But the love language of God is, if you love me, you will obey me. The most important one to remember. Keep in that flow. And as you love God, he will give you more. He'll entrust you with more. You won't just be like the servant who got one mite, another one got two, another one got five. What will you do with the giving of God to your life? So wisely, so frequently, and God will use that. But when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, so taking the voice of God and applying it, because at times God's gifts back to you can be God's voice back to you. He can talk to you through any one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. So I'll just stick to the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are 3 that say something. There are 3 that do something. And there are 3 that reveal something. So there's it covers most of what we do. The 3 that do something, or the power gifts, they're called faith, healing, and miracles. They do things in God. That's why when we exercise healing, it should, Paul, who in James it says, lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. You know, it's very simple. You put your hands on the sick, be healed in Jesus' name. That's our responsibility, to exercise that in faith. And he says, call on the elders of the church and they will anoint the sick and, minister to them healing. That should happen frequently. I really believe that is starting to happen frequently from what I see. But then you come to the 3 spoken gifts. We talk about verbal gifts. Prophecy is one. Tongues is the other. And interpretation of tongues. They're the 3 vocal gifts given by the Holy Spirit to the church. I won't go there too long. I'll just go on to the 3 that I want to concentrate on. The 3 insight gifts or revelation gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Those 3 work together. They're very revealing gifts. So once you hear something, it can come through a word of knowledge, speak to cancer, or speak to rejection, speak to abandonment. So the voice and the gift will work together. In revelation, it will uncover things. The word of wisdom will be to know what to do with the knowledge that God has revealed to you. Now, God gives us knowledge. Will we have the wisdom to be able to implement that knowledge wisely? That's why I always say that, our conscience comes into place when we're dealing with sensitive matters. If God reveals stuff, he doesn't want us to blab it all out to everybody. We've got to know that there's a sensitivity around the way we operate. Do it decently and in order is Paul's encouragement to the church. So what I'm saying is those insight gifts will work very strongly with the voice of God. And sometimes it's almost impossible to separate what is coming at you, but you know that you've heard something and this is God, then just follow through on it. You can work out afterwards what it is. Discerning of spirits is the ability given by the Holy Spirit to discern what spirit is operating at a given moment in a person's life or in the church or in a community. So you're discerning the spiritual, the type of spirit. Is it a good spirit? Is it a bad spirit? Is it a spirit of generosity? Is it a spirit of anger? Is it a spirit of unforgiveness? Is it a spirit of, a prophetic time in the church? But sometimes you can come in and the prophetic gift just flow. It's when the spirit of prophecy comes in and there's an acceleration of the prophetic flow of God in the church. You say, wow, there's something happening here. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You testify about Jesus in worship. Suddenly the gift of prophecy becomes a very common thing in the midst of the church. And it builds the church. And it awakens the church into their gifts and into their purpose. So those are the areas to be aware of that God is releasing in the midst of what we do. That those gifts are functional and they're in your life. So once it starts, you recognize the spark of it, keep pursuing it because it'll grow quickly. And, people took 5 years to get into the things of the Spirit. Today they're taking 5 months, 1 year. Just there's an acceleration of the things of God in the Spirit that are happening all over the place because of the times and seasons we are in. Those that sense they had a call, their call is now becoming very functional in the body. And that's great, isn't it? Because God is raising up new people. He's raising up the wider body of Christ. But I just wanted to tell you something about we're going to practice this with us in a short while. I just wanted to say to you that what is the gift of prophecy and or what is the gift of the word of knowledge that is going to help us? I made some principles that I've followed all my life in this area. Remember that the gifts that God has given is to profit all. It's not for me, but it's to profit the body of Christ. God designed gifts to view the good and the edification of the growing of the church. It's a principle that is in place in the Word of God. That's why when we speak prophecy or we speak a word of knowledge, we are speaking out of the goodness of God, not out of a judgmental responsibility. When a judgment or a call for judgment in the church comes, that's when the leader should make the call. The reverend or the pastor would say, now I've got to bring some correction here, but I won't do it publicly, I'll do it privately. If something's done publicly, then it's probably got to its last resort, you know, that the person's not listening and it's become it's affecting the whole body. Then there's a public correction that needs to take place. But we're not going there at this moment. What I'd like to just share with you is, as you quieten yourself before the Lord and you stay in the Lord in worship, in prayer, in the Word, He's going to speak to you. There's no doubt about that. It's how do you then articulate that Word to apply to a given circumstance that is important. So I want to just give you a few points here. I've got six of them that I've written down for the Word of Knowledge. It's a supernatural, number one. It's the supernatural revelation of the divine will and plans of God. So God's got divine will and plan for every life. The Word of Knowledge can come and it can reveal those plans and help you see more clearly what God is doing. You know, we could talk a lot more about that, but that's, you know, God has always got a purpose and a will for every person's life. Amen. Number two, it's a supernatural insight and understanding of circumstances or a body of facts by revelation. Like Peter had that revelation, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Because Jesus said, who do the people say I am? The Son of Man. But then Peter comes along and he reveals something that was nobody up to that point in Scripture, you can read from Matthew 1 to Matthew 16, had ever called out Jesus as being the Son, you know, the anointed Son of God, Christ, the Son of the living God. Nobody had. Peter had an incredible revelation, a body of facts that revealed the intentions of God's ministry through Christ Jesus on the earth. So that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes God can give you, it comes to us without human assistance, but comes from above. Amen. Number three, a deeper and more advanced understanding of the communicated acts of God. Sometimes God wants to communicate some things for us to do. Like I'm going to go and start a community work to feed the poor every Monday night. And that's going to be my ministry. God reveals that to us. We started and the people in the community get fed every Monday and people get saved and everything happens to the glory of God. Number four involves moral knowledge and wisdom for right living and relationship. So sometimes God can talk in the church about marriage, about relationships to do with divorce, and He can bring that word. And a brother or sister can come and say, oh, I've got this crazy word for the church. God this morning is saying to us that He wants to heal relationships that have been through the sieve, that have been through a difficult time. And He's here this morning to bring counsel and wisdom into those relationships. And that can be very, very strategic for a couple or for more than one couple. Number five. Requires objective understanding concerning divine things or divine duties. And sometimes God talks to us about our human responsibility to the work of the Lord. We can be sitting in church and suddenly God says, now I'm calling you to a work. Leave what you're doing and enter into a new relationship. Do my work. When I came to New Zealand, I always had an idea I would be working in the kingdom. But I started, when I came, I worked for a textile company, and I used to manage the company, and we send products to Australia, the USA, and Europe. But one morning I walked in, and we had long handles on our front door. When I took the handle like that and I opened it to walk in, the Lord said, "Time to leave." And yeah, I'm standing with the door in my hand. And the Lord said, "I'm opening new doors." And yeah, the other door, when I'm looking at the door, I think, wow, this is God. So I got into my office, got onto my knees, and I started praying. And I concluded, it wasn't the coffee I needed, it was prayer I needed. This was God. God was revealing to me to leave the company I was in and to go on an itinerant way, and I did. And I've been, you know, since that word came to me, that 17 years ago, that God gave me that word. Time to go. Leave, let go of what you're doing. Divine, what I call divine duties from the Lord. And yeah, it's just how God works. Number six, it refers to the knowledge of God and of the divine things that belong to God in relationship to the gospel and to the church. So at times God's knowledge of the church, that he speaks to individuals and says, "Now I want you to send this couple, you know, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit." And they sent them out. And God will recognize that moment, you know, in what we follow the voice of God and we call people into their divine purpose in what he's doing. So that's how, you know, some of the words of knowledge can work. It's got to be motivated by love, the desires, the zeal that I mentioned to you about God. That's the key that helps us stay on track. So whatever your ministry is about, it's got to come out of a heart of love. Amen. You've got to love God and love people. The hardest thing is to love the people. God is easy. Amen. It's the people that requires the work of the Lord. But, you know, it's very interesting. I've learned that God gives us love for people when he sends us on the road. That you look at people through different eyes. There we are, the trumpet call. Getting ready for the trumpet. We'll be taken up soon. So, let me encourage you this morning. We want to do a little bit of an exercise in the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom so that we can get you activated. But I want to do something today. I'll take this anointed seat here that was used by the musician. and just say to you that most of you are hearing from God. It's just to recognize that what's going on in here, this is God, and that you can use the gift that you have to focus. I think the biggest thing is we look and we don't look to see. And that's the key. You know, Jesus saw Nathanael because he was looking. You and I will miss things if we don't look and see. Amen? So the objective here today is I want to put somebody in the chair and we speak into them because we're looking, we're listening, and we've already had some input on how to perceive by the Spirit. And God will do that with us. Amen. So I'm going to ask this young man over here, do you want coming forth there, brother?
Len gave several personal prophecies at this point, which have been removed for obvious privacy reasons. If you would like to hear your personal prophecy, please contact Phil Woodmas and at Manaya Community Church, and he'll be able to find it for you. Thank you.